Here's the 1-0. Fernando hits it in the air to deep left. Hap is back at the wall. Gonna go! Two-run homer! And the Padres lead it! 9-8.
So I know Gwen and Chris sometimes play Rate the Radio Call in the afternoons.
They do.
I wonder, as Jesse Agler joins us for his weekly visit, Jesse, do you ever rate your own calls? Like, do you have your own personal favorites? And do you, like, go back and decide, you know, I love that one. I could have done better on that one. What did you think of last night's Tatis go-ahead home run call?
Oh, man. You know, of course, I think about that stuff far more than I should, and very rarely in any sort of positive way. You know, I mean, it's just kind of the nature of my brain. And I mean, it's like maybe twice a year when I walk away from one going, man, I really nailed that. I mean, that just doesn't happen for me. You know, immediately, you know, my thing is like, all right, what would I have liked to have done differently that time so that I can next time, you know, get it a little bit more right in my own head. But it kind of feels like that never stops. So you're just sort of chasing the carrot, you know, and that's how I look at it. But, you know, yesterday it was, you know, I was like, It was stunning. You kind of felt like it was maybe coming, but it was also stunning. And, you know, I wanted to give the crowd a moment there. So there was kind of that pause, you know, after it went over, and just sort of let the people who had remained at Petco Park have their moment, you know, to be sort of a part of it and cheer, and also a moment to just kind of collect myself, because it was a crazy historic thing that we just witnessed.
That was so cool. It was so cool. I texted Jesse down 4-0 and I said, man, looks like you're going to get home early. Are you there? You there? Do we lose you?
I hear him.
He said, hello.
Hear us? I know, like, we disappeared.
Hello? Are we going to get the Musgrove music? Jesse.
Boy.
Are you there?
And we lost him.
All right.
We'll get him back.
Stand by.
So you texted you.
Yeah.
4-0.
And I said, guys looking to get you home early tonight. Get you home from the ballpark.
Instead, the exact opposite happened.
Yeah, a little bit longer.
I thought the emotion was 10 out of 10. Loved that call from Jesse. Yeah. Really, really fantastic. I think he's too hard on himself sometimes. Jesse's calls are usually top notch almost every single time. And the unexpectedness of it, as Jesse said. So the pitch before, remember, Fernando had gotten backed off the plate.
Yeah, thrown up and in a little bit.
And we had seen that before, but you could tell that Fernando kind of knows the MO, because it happened a lot. What is usually the next pitch after he gets backed off the plate? It's going to be a slider on the outside corner to try to get him a bad swing. We got Jesse back on the line. Jesse, did you kind of notice that as well, that the home run came right after a pitch that backed Fernando Tatis Jr. off the plate, and then he knew that outside slider was coming?
Yeah, not only that, but I mean, my main takeaway from that, and Tony and I talked about it, I don't know if it was in the next inning or later that inning, was how did he not get hit by that pitch?
Yes.
You know, you talk about game of inches all the time. Cronenworth just missing the home run on, I think, the first pitch of his at-bat, and then hits one on the ninth pitch of at-bat, which, you know, that never happens, right? And then, you know, whether it's a defensive play, a little bit of a bang-bang, or the ball just gets under Talkman's glove and right. And then, you know, if Fernando gets hit by that pitch, who knows how that inning unwinds. And I think most guys do get hit by that pitch. I mean, the way he sort of, you know, moved his body and contorted himself and made himself smaller at the last second so that thing whizzed by his hip, you know, was something that not every guy is capable of. And then, of course, he hits the home run. So, I mean, it's just anytime you have a regular come from behind win, it feels like there's 1,000 things that if one would have gone the other way, you wouldn't have gotten that result. And of course, in a game like last night, that many more things like that.
Well, my dumb ass is like, wait, you got to wear that, man. We need you on base. That's my dumb. I mean, of course, I wasn't mad. I was just like, oh man, that's a good chance to get somebody on base.
Yeah, go ahead, run. Let's get you on base.
100%. Let you.
And he almost had that home run. The first he put it on the top of the roof of the Western Mill. I don't know how far foul it was, but it looked like it was right by the corner there of the roof.
I texted Jesse last night after they got down 4-0, and just, I mean, like, Jesse, you agree, like, bad at bats, not competitive at all. I don't know what. I think Jake Cronenworth grinding that AB out was obviously the kind of the turning point in the game, but I mean, really uncompetitive 2-0 hacks and stuff like that, where you're going, okay, all right, I guess we're gonna flush this one and move on, and they ended up keeping you there a little bit longer than you probably thought they would.
Yeah, I mean, look, you never anticipate coming back from 8-0. It's happened 4 times in the, you know, 50 plus 60-year history of this franchise. So, you know, you don't expect it. But there is always in a comeback that moment where you go, all right, like, let's see what happens here. And I'm telling you, when Cronenworth hit that home run, it wasn't the great at-bat, although it was a great at-bat, and it wasn't the home run itself, which was obviously huge, that kind of, like, got my brain going in that direction. It was after the home run. Yes. They had a shot of the dugout on TV, and it was very intense looking down in the dugout.
Yeah.
And I didn't say anything. It was just kind of something I noticed out of the corner of my eye, and it was, I think, a shot of Cronenworth, and I forget who he was talking to, but you just saw, like, there was none of this, like, hey, we got two, that's nice. They looked dialed in the dugout. Cronenworth in particular was all fired up. He looked to me like he had just hit a game-tying home run, not a home run that made 8-0, 8-2. And that kind of got my antenna up a little bit of like, okay, you know, maybe we're going to see something here. And again, you never anticipate coming all the way back from something like that. But there's no question that the intensity dial was turned all the way up at that point in the game. And obviously you need some things to go your way. You need to have the good at-bats. You can have the plan. You can have the mentality. Then you got to go out and do the hard part, which is execute. And they certainly did. And I think I said to Tony on the air, after they got the big inning, you know, they were still down, but I said, they've done the hard part. You know, like now it's easy street from here on out. Not to say it's automatic or anything like that, but, you know, they had turned what felt like and looked like an insurmountable deficit into something very manageable in the late innings. And what do you know? They went out and did it.
And it was Avila too, leaning over the railing of the dugout and banging on the side. Like, he was fired up. And I said, "Oh, that's different. Now you're down six,
yeah."
But it was cool. You're absolutely right. I know exactly what you're talking about. And Schilt said the same thing. He said guys were coming up saying, "No, we're going to fight." Listen, it's all tropes until it's not. Like, it worked. They did it. Now you got to build off.
One of the unusual things about the comeback, though, and I could tell you noticed it, Jesse, is it's rare, but it happens where you get back into a game when you're down big. But it's usually a long, drawn-out process, like two or three rallies. A lot of things have to go right. It was so quick from 8-0 to feeling like they're right back in the game because it was Jake home run, and it was pitch, pitch, pitch.
Bam, bam, bam,
and then
bam.
All of a sudden it's 8-5 within like 3 or 4 minutes, it seemed like. That it happened so fast, Jesse.
Yeah, it did happen fast. And the crazy thing about it is, not only did it happen fast, but it happened kind of out of nowhere because, like you said, they didn't really pose any threat to Assad at all, you know, until the Cronenworth home run. You know, they had the two hits in the second inning, runners on the corners, I think, one out. They didn't score. And then it was like nothing, 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 nothing. So it sort of lulls you to sleep a little bit, right? You know, and it kind of is like, all right, I guess, as you said, Wazzy, I guess it's not happening tonight. And then all of a sudden you blink and it's a one-run or a two-run game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it was a remarkable thing to watch. Look, these are not things we get to see all the time.
Yeah.
You know, the Camarena game was historic for all kinds of reasons. That was 3 years ago. You might go another decade without seeing, you know, them erase an 8-0 deficit in the late innings or the mid innings. But man, it was fun. And I think also exactly what not only the team needed coming off, you know, the last two series against the Cardinals and the Giants, but probably a little bit what the fan base needed as well. Because while so many things were kind of looking like last year, this does not, you know, this didn't happen last year. Nothing close to this ever happened last year. They came close a bunch of times last year. I don't know how many times I would say going to the 8th or 9th inning, hey, the right guy's coming up, and nothing happened. You know, I stopped saying that at some point because it was like they just never got over that hump.
Yeah.
You know, so I think for all of us to see them do this early in the year, I think is really good, you know, for our sanity, if nothing else.
Jesse Agler, voice of the Padres, is with us. It's an Incorporator Tuesday. We'll get to that in just a moment. But yesterday was also the 20th anniversary of the first Padres game at Petco Park. You've been around for more than half of that. What is Jesse's favorite, maybe lesser known aspect of Petco Park? All the time that you spent there, something that you love about the ballpark?
Oh, man. I mean, how much time do we have? You know, it's
a couple minutes.
Look,
here.
So much
like
of it
an
is
hour and
obvious.
14, so you're good.
Yeah. And good luck to you. It to me, you know, I got here 2014, the 10th anniversary year was my first year. And it was special. I can remember the first time I walked out onto that field, you know, there was a sense of awe. And I still get that and then some. But while they've done some really wonderful improvements, first it was the video board, and obviously just sort of the general maintenance of the place to make it still feel new. I say all the time to people, I go to every ballpark, I'm very lucky, around America. There are places that are not 20 years old that look way older than Petco because of the way this organization has sort of been committed to keeping it looking new and fresh and wonderful. But to me, the biggest difference between then and now are the fans, you know, and obviously because of the way the team has performed and because of the types of players they have, the atmosphere is so different now than it was then. It was always a beautiful place. We always had the weather, you know, we always had the, not always, but in the last 10 years, we've had the backdrop, you know, of all the buildings, but you didn't have the fan buy-in then that you have now. And I think the biggest difference for me in the 10 years that I've been here is the atmosphere, the noise, the engagement of the fans. And it is night and day. It really is. And these fans were ready and waiting to have a team that was sort of worthy of that sort of atmosphere. And now that they've had it, you know, they've shown up year after year at this point, and it's just turned it into what was a very wonderful building into one of the best places in baseball. And, you know, the reason that I think the ballpark keeps coming out top of all these lists isn't just because of the setting, isn't just because of how beautiful it is, because that stuff's really always been there. It's because the atmosphere that's been created by the fans, and to me, that is what has kind of taken Petco to the next level.
It's insane. I mean, it truly, truly is insane to walk through the concourse at Petco Park right now. It's packed. I mean, Monday night's packed. Like, it's pretty cool. And if they keep, you know, they keep winning baseball games, I think they know. I said it yesterday. This city is begging to love them. Begging. That's all we want, is a winner. And we're begging to love and embrace this team.
That was wisdom, though, from Jesse. That was basically the ballpark is an unbelievable canvas, but it's the people, the team
paint.
And the fans. That are the paint, the art that goes on the canvas and ultimately determines or not it's a great park or not. It doesn't have to have all the bells and whistles. If you got a great atmosphere, that's the most important thing. And Padres have created that with the help of their great fans.
And Jesse, you weren't surprised. Some people were streaming for the exits, 8-0. I thought about it. I thought about throwing in the towel. I didn't. I'm glad I stayed up the whole time. But, boy, they missed a good one if they did leave. And let that be a lesson to them, I guess.
I mean, you know, we're taking the for the faithful thing pretty literally last night, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, that's who was left, you know, in the eighth inning. And when Fernando hits that home run, the faithful were the ones who were left. And that is, even with a clock in baseball now, there's still no clock. You know, you get your 27 outs, you go until you can't go anymore. You know, time, they can't run out the clock on you. You know, you can't run out of time in baseball, even with a pitch clock. You still get your 27 outs. And if you're able to use all of them in that way, you create, you know, a lifetime memory, and that's what they did last night.
All right, Benny, lay it on him.
All right, time for the incorporator. If you've just joined us, Jesse, every Tuesday we'll have to incorporate a strange vocabulary word into the baseball broadcast, one that does not belong. And today's word is contributed by Tier 1 Anthony the Butcher, just celebrated a birthday. So we thought, choose his word that he submitted. It's a very simple definition. Today's word is biblioclept. Someone who steals.
Like a book stealer? I was going to make him.
The etymology, I'm sure Jesse could have figured that out. But
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Someone who steals books.
Biblioclept.
What a great word.
Yeah. I was a biblioclept a little bit.
Were you?
Yeah, when I was a kid. Like,
just not returning
library books. I really wanted, I read, it's called No One Here Gets Out Alive, and it's a biography about Jim Morrison. And I loved it so much, instead of just buying it, I was like 14, I stole it. I ripped
when teenage rebels are also English majors.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what.
I ripped the little barcode. Ripped the barcode out of the paperback and was like, well, that was the easiest thing I've ever swiped. And that's what I did. I was an actual biblioclept.
You were trying to break on through to the other side.
I was. It was, I tried that many, many years, Jesse, breaking on through. I never actually got through, to be honest, but it wasn't for a lack of trying.
We had the discussion last Wednesday about the different methods that Jesse uses to incorporate the word.
Yes.
Which is fascinating. The directed conversation,
yep.
the crime of opportunity, essentially, when he just kind of jumps in on, you know, something that Tony is saying, or the conversation goes in a direction, or the true incorporator when it actually fits the situation, which is very rare. I don't know how Biblioclept will ever fit the situation tonight.
They'll make it work.
Who knows? Jesse will find a way to make it work and get that word into the broadcast. I have no doubt.
We will do our best. Happy birthday to Anthony. That's a great word. And tune in to find out.
We will, man. Thank you so much, and get some rest. Going to be another long one tonight. Hopefully another dub.
Sounds good to me.
Jesse Agler, the voice of the Padres and our incorporator.